Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And I want to speak life into somebody today. Identify where the devil's attacking you most and realize that that's where God's next biggest plan for your life. And he's going to, he's going to come at you with everything. But listen, if God created that for you and created that in you and is going to do something great, the devil is going to fail. At the end of this, we're going to see God's glory all over that and that situation. Somebody say yes. And amen. Praise God. I just feel that so strong. And I'm like Mario. We could have just kept on worshiping tonight, but we are going to jump into the Word of God where we left off last session. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And it is one verse for your reading, and then I'll let you sit down for a couple hours. Oh, you're not even awake, see? Only one or two of y'all caught that. Mark chapter 8, that baby in the back goes, Then he called the crowd, this is Jesus, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple, somebody say disciple, must deny themselves. Discipline is hard, y'all. Discipline is hard. Must deny themselves, take up their cross, everybody's got a cross, and follow me. We're talking about fan or follower with the subtitle, Jesus doesn't need more fans. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to declare this, even if your life doesn't match this next statement. Somebody just needs to say so the devil can hear you, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter how far. No matter where it takes me to, no matter who it takes me from, I'm going to follow Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last session, we talked about teach and reach. A lot of times we want to reach, but sometimes we need to sit down and be taught, sit down and hear the teaching of the Word of God. And so I believe that the 3.5 years that Jesus walked on the face of this earth, church, was not only because it took him that long to get to the cross, but he had to teach a generation in 3.5 years what it meant to follow Jesus. Some of them couldn't follow the physical Jesus. And Jesus knew that there was going to be a generation, that would be you and me in 2023, that we're not going to have the physical Jesus to follow. But we're going to follow him in spirit. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth. We're going to be led of the Lord. Some people couldn't do it when he was on this earth, but he said, there is a generation. Remember what Jesus would say to Thomas. He said, you believe because you've seen. But he said, blessed are those who have not yet seen, yet they still believe. That would be you and I on a Wednesday night. We have followed Jesus to Living Way Church. You didn't come to find Jesus. You followed him here knowing that he was going to speak tonight, knowing that his spirit was going to move tonight, knowing that his presence was going to be so thick in this place that it was going to squeeze everything that is not of God out of your life. Mario came back to the front seat after he received the offer, and he said, man, it is thick up there. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, that the Spirit of God has settled in this place. You did not, most of us did not come to find Jesus tonight, but we have followed Jesus here tonight. Teach means to make disciples. Reach means to go outside of the four walls of the church. While this series will be heavy on discipling believers, turning people from fans to followers, or from those that follow a certain way but are not all in, we want to move you along in your development and your maturation as a believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ. We will study some things that Jesus said about what a real follower and disciple looks like. And then we will dissect some of the disciples' trips from fan to follower. If you were here last session, we talked about fan as an enthusiastic devotee or an admirer. Admiring Jesus is not going to change your life. That's a good place to say amen. Being enthusiastic, we're an enthusiastic church, y'all. We're loud, we're wild, We jump, we run, we dance, we yell, hallelujah, we scream, we holler. In just a few moments, the altar is going to be filled. People are going to receive from God tonight. Some of them might even fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of those are forms of enthusiasm, but enthusiasm does not make you a follower of Jesus. It just makes you the most visible fan. Have you ever been to a football game where someone had one of those air horns? You look up, and I don't know why the skinny guys never take their shirts off and paint their chest much. It's always those dudes that are 320 pounds. And they're so white that when they take their shirt off, I mean, it's like blinding. But their enthusiasm draws attention to them. A fan always wants the attention on them. A follower always wants the attention on him. A fan is always saying, look at me while I support my team. But a follower says, hey, if you follow me, remember that I'm following Christ. And there is nothing good in me save what Jesus has done in my life. And I will say this until the day Jesus comes back, that we are in this room never designed to receive glory, never designed to receive accolades and honor. We are supposed to deflect and reflect all of that to God. If there is anything good in Brandon, it's because of Jesus. If there's anything that I've done that's noteworthy, it's because of Jesus. Always reflecting and deflecting is what a true follower of Jesus does. Fans say, look at me. Followers say, look at God. Follower defined as a person who follows another in regard to their ideas or belief. A disciple is what Webster would describe and define a follower as. A disciple is nothing more than a disciplined believer. Being a believer, church, is not enough. The Bible says that even Satan believes and trembles. Believing is not enough, but what does your belief in Jesus cause you and I to do? I can tell that you're different than most believers because your belief on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock said, I'm going to go to the house of God tonight. I'm going to worship even though my body is weary. I'm going to praise even though I'm going through some things. I'm going to seek God in this moment. Why? Because I'm not a fan of his. I'm a disciplined follower. We talked and left last session talking about that a lot of church culture has made fans, but not followers. And a lot of fans are now identifying, we love to use that phrase now, as followers. Fans and followers are not the same. You can be a fan of something, but never a follower. And we're going to dive deep in just a moment on 7 types of fans, because I think some of us are masquerading as followers, but we're really fans. Mark 8, verse 33, Jesus calls the crowd to him along with his disciples. From the very onset, Jesus makes a distinction. There is people that are in the crowd and there are people that are disciples. There are people here listening to me that don't even agree with me. That's what Jesus said. There are people that are hearing the word of God, seeing miracles worked in and around them, yet they do not believe enough to become disciplined to follow me. They go back to their homes and they're the same way. They go back to the city and they're the same way. He calls the crowd and his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple, now check this out. Jesus made it a point to talk to his to the crowd and his disciples, and he said, if you want to be my disciple, well, hold on, aren't you talking to disciples? There's some disciples that weren't really disciples. Disciples by name, disciples by title, but their life showed otherwise. I want to encourage you today, and I'll encourage myself along with you. We should strive in our life, church, not to be a disciple by title only. We should not have to tell everybody who we are and what we are. It should be evident in our lives that no matter what is going on around us, we're going to act like a disciple. We're going to react like a disciple. People should look at you and say they're different. There's something different about them. Somebody say, I'm different. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, I hope you're different. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourselves, take up your cross, follow me. We'll get to that next week. But let's talk about the seven types of fans. Now, some of these things that I'm going to start defining and describing, you are going to know people that fit these definitions. It is important that while we are studying these fans and the different fans of Christ, that we don't get bogged down in who we know that fits that description. What needs to happen over the next 12 minutes is we need to be able to look in the mirror and say, can I see any of that fan attitude in me? Am I exemplifying fan characteristics and not follower characteristics? Number one, we're going to dive into the culture fans. We're going to liken a lot of this to sport because it is something, a language that most of us speak. If I was going to give another name to culture fans, it would be the everybody else is doing it fan. Culture fans are those that enjoy the Super Bowl, those that enjoy March Madness, but not for the football and basketball, but for the commercials. Because they can get together with other people. They don't actually watch the game. They don't engage in any sports discussion at any other time of the year. And if you did start talking sports with them, you would quickly realize there is not much to talk about because they don't know what to talk about. Now, if we could relate that to church, culture fans would be those people that attend church because their family has always attended. Or they attend church because that is just what you're supposed to do on Sundays. However, they cannot tell you why they are there and what role the church has in a believer's life, which is to teach and disciple. John 15, verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hath hated you. Remember, we are in it, but we are not of it. However, cultural fans, when it comes to Jesus and church, they are in it, but they are not of it. They are not of the worshiping life, the sacrificial life, the praising and fasting life. I want to encourage you today, when you come to church, it is not because culture has dictated. It is not out of tradition. Maybe that's why you started coming, but I hope that you showed up on a Wednesday night, not out of tradition and not out of culture. I hope that when you show up to your job tomorrow and they say, what'd you do last night? You didn't just say, I went to church, but you say, I was at church and the Spirit of God flooded that room with a tangible presence. People were lost in the presence of God. I believe that God was working miracles. Why? Because we are not a cultural fan. We are a follower of Jesus. I can tell you why I follow. I can tell you what a difference it's made in my life since I follow Jesus. It is not a culture thing. It is a follower thing. Remember this in Psalm 42, and I just made a video about this. The Bible says that deep calls deep. So many times we get frustrated with shallow people that don't understand our deep God. And when the shallow doesn't understand the deep, it frustrates us. But the shallow will never understand the deep. And the superficial will never understand the supernatural. That's why I'm not a cultural fan of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. And sometimes that's not going to make sense to the people around me, and that is okay, church. The Bible says you are a peculiar people. You are different. You are set apart. But I want to remind you that the reason you follow Jesus is not out of tradition, not out of religion, but he made a difference in your life. Two Sundays from now, our church will be filled with cultural Christians. That it's the thing to do to dress up and go to church on Sunday. You cannot get to heaven visiting Jesus once a year like he is an old man in a nursing home. It is going to take following Jesus. See, to follow Jesus means I'm going to follow him through valleys. To follow Jesus means I'm going to follow him through storms. But the greatest promise is following Jesus means I'm going to follow him to a real place called heaven. Remember, we are in the world, but not of it. Let's talk about the second type of fan, and those would be the social fans. If we're talking sports, this person, sporting events are social occasions. Sporting events to social fans are like brunch or St. Patrick's Day. It's really just an excuse to dress up and drink. Come on now. One might argue that they're really just a fan of alcohol. Those that go and tailgate for 3 or 4 hours and get plastered before they ever get into the NFL game, they ain't a fan of football. They're a fan of alcohol. They're social fans. More than anything else, they just want to be there for the social aspect. Social fans would be those that like everything about church except for the things that actually make this a church. They love everything but the worship. They love everything but the word. This is how we can tell your maturity in Christ and your maturity in the things of God and whether you're a fan or a follower. If you're counting songs saying, well, they should be over, and the worship team goes into a fourth or a fifth or a sixth song, you can say, well, this is getting too long. You're a fan of Christ, because I will never complain about worshiping my God too long. So they love everything about church except worship, except word, except the anointing, except God's presence. Y'all are just a little too demonstrative at Living Way. Y'all are a little too wild at Living Way. I don't like all of that speaking in tongues at Living Way. When people clap and they dance and they jump up and down, I don't like all of that. Yet you have no problem at the Spurs game, at the Cowboys game. You have no problem at the Rockets game, at the Mavericks game. You have no problem pumping your fist in the air for a politician or a singer that does not know who you are. You are a fan of them and they will never know you. But I'm a follower of God because he knows me, loves me enough that he saved me, and he's still working in my life. So what would social fans look like at church? They would be those that like everything but what makes a church. They're the ones that are always asking about the singles ministry and when they meet. And everybody that's always asked me, do y'all have a singles ministry, is thrice divorced and 55 years old. Y'all wishing Mandy was back now. Listen, when churches say singles ministry, they're talking under 30, over 18, never having been married before. This is not eHarmony or Church Singles Meet or EbonysMeet.com. When are we going to have another social event? When's the next potluck? When are the singles getting together? What they really want is a country club, not accountability. They want to hang out, but they don't want to grow. They want to spend time together and go to dinner, but they really don't want discipleship. They don't want praise. They don't want sacrifice. They just want a party. But this is what 2 Corinthians says. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Write this down if you're taking notes. A fan is always looking for fun, but a follower is always finding freedom. Following Jesus sometimes is not fun. Some of y'all are looking cross-eyed now. That's all right. You say, well, I follow Jesus and I have fun every day. You're a fan. Where did Jesus take his cross? To the hill called Golgotha, where they nailed him and crucified him to that cross. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be crucified like Jesus because we're not worthy to do it. We can't get the job done. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, remember what he said, the world hates you because they hated me first. He said, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. Denying yourself. A life of discipline is not always fun. Denying yourself is not always fun. Carrying a heavy cross is not always fun. Following Jesus sometimes takes you away from relationships you love and people you like. Following Jesus sometimes takes you away from things you like, hobbies you like, substances you like. It's not always fun, but following Jesus always leads to freedom. Someone asked me the other day, and this is my running answer. They said, man, living on a ranch must be fun. And I said, I don't do anything for fun. Raising horses must be fun. I don't do anything for fun. If it's not making me money, I'm not doing it outside of Jesus Christ. I raise horses for one thing, not because I love horses, but because I want to make money so I can keep doing what God has called me to do and live a comfortable life. I am here to tell you, I am 41 years old. I don't need to have fun. I want to be called. I want to be anointed. I want to be appointed. I'm not telling you that I don't have fun, but fun is not a prerequisite for me to sacrifice. Fun is not what rolls me out of bed in the morning. Fun is not what keeps me going. Purpose keeps me going. God's plan keeps me going. God's promise keeps me going. If you're always looking for fun, you're a fan. Because followers, we're walking this out and we're walking into freedom. And every day I'm waking up and I'm choosing today, am I going to have fun or am I going to stay free? Am I going to have fun or am I going to have freedom? Am I going to have fun and do what I want to do, or am I going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus? If you follow Jesus, you and I will have fun for eternity. Let me tell you what fun is. Fun is not stepping out on your marriage and having an extramarital affair. Fun is making it to heaven where there's no more wars, there's no tears, there's no sadness, there's no job like you've got right now. Fun is an eternity in the presence of God with no more adversary, no more. Fun is golden streets, gates of pearl, jasper wall. Fun is talking to Paul about everything he did on this earth, seeing your mom and them, your grandmother, and all the people that are in that great cloud. That's fun. So are you telling me you'd rather have fun for 20 years instead of fun for eternity? When I found freedom, fun went down the list on things I needed to have, because once I tasted freedom in Jesus, it changed everything. Let's talk about the number three type of fans, super fans. Now, super fans would be considered religious fans. They follow their teams religiously. You know, there are people in this room that can tell you the starting team for the 1983 Yankees by name and position. They can tell you how many points Michael Jordan averaged the 1993 season. They can tell you all of this information because they are super fans. I've got an issue with people that will argue LeBron's case for being GOAT, but you will never stick up for Jesus like that. You will vehemently deny or present your case why he's the greatest and why Mike's not the greatest, why Kobe's second fiddle. But when someone brings up Jesus, you say, well, to each their own. I've got to respect them and what they believe. No, you do not. That's fan talk. A follower will, listen, not argue. A follower will defend the faith. A follower will proclaim what he knows. A super fan follows their team religiously. When you hear that word religiously, they think about it, they talk about it multiple times during the week. They're doing something to feed that desire. Whatever the city, whatever the sport, they can name the starting lineups, key substitutions. They watch every game. Even if they're hospitalized, they'll be asking the nurse for the remote if they're conscious. But check this out. Super fans know so much information, but they lack revelation. There was people in Jesus' time that would have identified themselves as a follower of Jesus. But unlike Peter, unlike Andrew, unlike James, unlike John, they didn't follow Jesus or think of Jesus enough to leave their family, to leave their jobs, to leave their city, to leave their comfort zone. There was a lot of super fans of Jesus. There was a lot of fans, super fans, that were saying, hey, did you hear what Jesus did out there in the middle of nowhere? He fed 20,000 people. Hey, did you hear that Jesus raised his dead friend Lazarus after he had been in the grave 4 years? Hey, I don't know if it's true, but man, that Jesus, he's a bad dude. He was walking on water the other night. I heard that he stepped to the bow of a ship in the middle of a hurricane and said, peace be still, and the stars came out. That's super fan talk. That's information. I don't want information. I want revelation. Information doesn't change your mind. It fills your mind. Revelation transforms who you are. Romans chapter 12, remember what it says, that we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, not the filling of our mind. The filling of our mind does not transform us. What transforms us is the renewing of our mind. And followers of Christ are continually renewing their mind. But here's the thing, if you're a fan of Jesus and you only spend time with him and talk with him on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, you might have your mind renewed. You might have your mind refreshed. You might have a God thought sitting here on Wednesday, but on Thursday, Friday, can I just tell you, the way the world's going, not only do I need to renew my mind every day, I need to renew my mind sometimes 10, 12, 14, 16 times a day, because it's getting crazy out there. Super fans know information but lack revelation. Superfans' heads are filled with information, but their lives lack application. I am doing you a disservice as a pastor if I preach for response, and I preach to make you happy, and I preach so that you'll shout, but I do not give you something on Wednesday night that when you go home, you can apply to your marriage, you can apply to your job tomorrow, you can take to your school. I don't want to just give you information. I want God to bring revelation. And after you get that revelation, it should be delivered in such and received in such a way that you can apply that thing tomorrow. I want you saying, leaving this place tonight, man of God, telling your wife, I'm gonna become a better follower of Jesus so I can lead this family into the Spirit of God and into what God is doing. I need some singles to leave here saying, Jesus, I've been focused on finding my mate instead of focused on you. God, for the next 90 days, I'm going to put all that stuff to the side and I'm going to follow you like I've never followed you before. And can I encourage you, single, if you are looking for someone to share your life with, understand this, you will never find the right one looking for them. You will always find the right one when you're focused on him. And when you are pursuing God, you are going to start looking around and seeing other young people pursuing God. And when you find one that can match you step for step as you're pursuing God, put a ring on it. Don't say, I found one and I'm going to make them. If God couldn't make them so far, you can't make them. Let God do the work. Your dating them is not a missionary field. You work on you. You become the best you that you've ever been. You become the best follower that you've ever been. And I promise God will bring you the right relationships to you. Not just information, revelation, so that we can have application. What am I going to do with this word tomorrow? What am I going to do with Sunday's word on Monday? And you say, well, this series is not really for me. Man, I'm a follower of God. I promise you that God is going to speak something through me, or God will just bypass me and drop a God thought in you on the fourth row from the back in the middle of this preaching saying, Brandon's not getting the job done, but this one's just for you. And give you a word that changes your life. We're not transformed by the feeling of our head, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Look straight ahead as we jump into this one. Fair weather fans. We all know fair weather fans. Bishop will tell you that he is a fair weather fan of the Spurs and of the Cowboys, which means he's never been a fan of the Cowboys for the last 27 years. Fairweather fans, a.k.a. bandwagon fans. It's amazing to me how many Kansas Chiefs fans there are when there's less than five people from that great city that come to Living Way Church. Patrick Mahomes shows up. Kelsey shows up. Get a good coach that shows up. And man, we're all Kansas City fans. It's amazing how all of you New England Patriot fans shifted south to Tampa Bay just a couple years ago. Fair weather and bandwagon. This fan only supports their team when they're winning and everything is perfect. But the moment opposition shows up, their team goes on a losing streak. Team trades their best player. They bounce and hop off that bandwagon so quickly. We all know people like this. They come to Jesus thinking it's all rainbows and butterflies. They're all about that church life and that Jesus life, but the moment all hell breaks loose. And let's just be honest, for most believers, it doesn't even take all of hell breaking loose, just like 2.5%. Oh, okay. They jump off the bandwagon so quick, they break both ankles. Why is that? John chapter 6, verse 64, and I'm closing with this. This is what Jesus said. Conversation he's having in front of followers, disciples, the crowd. But there are some of you that believe not, Jesus said. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. That's a powerful statement. Jesus called Judas. And when he called Judas, he knew he was going to get stabbed in the back. So, will you follow me? Are you strong enough to invite Judases in your situation if it's going to bring God glory?